Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Psalm, chapter 32. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. The New Testament reading is from verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, Again it is written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Why did the PowerPoint presentation cross the road to get to the other slide? What did the teacher say to the Disney insect learning to use a computer mouse? Jiminy Cricket. This is my favorite, though, because it's so true. What is the biggest lie in the entire universe? I have read and agree to the terms and conditions. My mother became a computer operator and then a programmer in the mid-1960s, at a time when it was rare for a woman to be working outside the house, much less with a relatively new electronic brain, as computers were sometimes referred. And this was at a time when programming was done by punch cards, and computers took up several rooms. And she went on to earn a degree in computer programming and became a shift manager for Anaconda Aluminum for many years. But interestingly, though, when home computers began to be sold, remember the Commodore 64? She wanted nothing to do with them and never owned a PC or surfed the web. Well, now hardly a day goes by that we don't use a computer, whether it's sending a message with our phones. I mean, forget calls. Everybody texts or Instagrams or messages now. The click of a mouse and the touch of a screen is far more commonplace. We get everything from the news to ordering groceries, to setting up an appointment, to refilling a prescription, downloading books, checking in with loved ones, all with the click of a mouse. Those of you who don't use an actual mouse but use a little mouse pad, I'm very mouse dependent. But with all the advantages of the web and all that it has brought in communication and information, it has also burdened us with some distractions. You can't read an online article, for example, without being bombarded with ads, or perhaps even worse, temptations to click on another article that may take you down a rabbit hole you never intended to follow. This is clickbait, an ad or a link designed to pique your curiosity and suck you in. And the headline usually doesn't deliver what it offers, and your click usually results in a bevy of more ads and useless information. I mean, who couldn't resist clicking on the following headlines? And these were actual headlines. Brady Bunch secrets that will leave you speechless. American residents born between 1936 and 1966 are in for a... dot, dot, dot. 21 facts about the Amish most people don't know. Are you intrigued? Well, you click on any of those, and you've burned an hour or so without even realizing it. So it's no wonder, then, that the devil himself is a master of clickbait. The tempter is always trying to get people distracted from what really matters. And he doesn't deliver on what he promises, and he plays havoc with people who are driven by emotion rather than by faith. Biblically speaking, there's no greater example of how his clickbait strategy works than the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Now, the way Matthew retells this story of Jesus is much in the Jewish tradition of storytelling, which is very appropriate since Matthew's gospel is written for a Jewish audience. There are echoes of the Old Testament all the way through this account as Jesus goes into the desert for 40 days, which is emblematic of the 40 years that the Israelites spent walking in the wilderness before entering the promised land. But even more, a reminder of the 40 days that Moses spent on Mount Sinai to receive God's commandments. So in spite of the fact that God was present with them in cloud and fire and in the tabernacle, the Israelites still wrestled with what it meant to be God's people, and they gave in to temptation. And Matthew sets the scene of Jesus' own temptation in the wilderness using this imagery. And the temptations of Jesus reflect the temptation. The tempter shows up to offer Jesus some salacious shortcuts for his ministry, which will reflect the mission of Israel, beginning each one with, "If you are the Son of God." The question is whether Jesus will click on any of the tempter's bait. What follows are the three temptations of Jesus in clickbait form. Clickbait headline number one: making bread out of stones, the shocking dietary revolution that will change your life. You'd click on that. The devil's first piece of clickbait is to get Jesus to use his power to transform stones into bread. I mean, this was probably a really big temptation for Jesus because he is famished after 40 days of fasting. But it's an even bigger temptation when you put it into context. Many Jews in Jesus' day were hoping for a new exodus out of their practical slavery under Roman occupation. They were looking for a Messiah who looked a lot like a new version of Moses, complete with God's provision of manna from heaven. I mean, turning stones into bread would be a sure sign for the people that the Messiah they were looking for had finally arrived. And the tempter wants Jesus to conform to the people's expectations. Jesus understood, however, that this clickbait temptation was about focusing on the product rather than the source. I mean, the Israelites wandering in the desert eventually got sick of eating manna day after day, and they pined to go back to Egypt where the food was better. They ignored the fact that God was the one keeping them alive and leading them toward the promised land. Bread alone wasn't enough to keep the people satisfied, after all. And Jesus responded to the tempter by quoting Moses' own warning to the people that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Clickbait headline number two: incredible height with no parachute. You won't believe what happens next. The tempter's second clickbait temptation was to get a kind of YouTube video of Jesus jumping off the pinnacle of the temple into the Kidron Valley with no net, no parachute. The fall would have almost certainly meant death, but the tempter was certain that Jesus could land unscathed. I mean, such a video would go viral immediately and ensure Jesus' celebrity status among all the people, not just the scraggly band of disciples and hangers-on who followed him around. And the tempter even tries to use scripture, quoting Psalm 91, to pump up the fact that Jesus would provide an angelic, or excuse me, that God would provide an angelic safety net for the jump. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. But like a lot of clickbait of the semi-religious variety, the tempter uses scripture out of context. Psalm 91, verses 9-10 says that God's protection is for circumstances that befall his people and not for those who stupidly test God by taking foolish risks, especially when those risks are designed to impress others. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then will no harm befall you. And so in response to the tempter's clickbait, Jesus cites the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus says this right to the devil's face. You want me to jump off this pinnacle? Not going to happen. Scripture says not to test God. Clickbait headline number three: the secret to world domination It's easier than you think. All the kingdoms of the world have never really belonged to the tempter, but his final offer is to make Jesus the kind of ruler who worships him. That kind of ruler is the kind of political and military leader the world normally expected, one who exercises power to keep everything in line without needing God's help to do it. And the tempter offers Jesus the world as it is, and as everyone expects it to be. All he needs do is to fall down and worship the tempter and his way of owning and manipulating human hearts. But Jesus is not interested in this world as it is, and as everyone expects it to be. He will come out of the wilderness preaching the reign and rule of God on earth. And this is quite different governing system than the tempter's rule. The tempter's kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. God's is a kingdom of light. The tempter's kingdom is all about dominating and domineering authority. God's kingdom is about servanthood. The tempter's kingdom is about coercion, violence, and bondage. God's kingdom is about peace. The tempter's kingdom is about the pleasure principle. God's kingdom is about holiness and right living. The tempter's kingdom is based on lies and deception. God's kingdom is about truth, the truth which sets us free. The devil's kingdom is a culture of death. God's kingdom is a culture of life. Jesus said that it is the poor in spirit, the mourners, the meek, the merciful, the peacemakers, and the persecuted who will inherit the kingdom. Those who worship the Lord their God and serve only God. When we're tempted to click on things that promote the world as the tempter wants it, Jesus reminds us to turn our attention to the reality of the kingdom and not the devil's fantasy world. Jesus already rules this kingdom and calls us to join him in making it a reality on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus refused to be drawn in by the tempter's clickbait. Interestingly, the tempter rebuffed three times leaves Jesus alone. In any event, there are plenty of pop-up temptations that cross our path and our screens every day. Jesus invites us to turn our attention to the wilderness, to the Word, and to his wisdom. And they're the only ads that really deliver. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.